Chazal said there's a mitzvah Neri Shubesa, there's a mitzvah that Chazal Masak, and the mitzvah Chanukah is a mitzvah Chaviva here at the Moed. The Rambam says, Pesuminisa, and to the extent that a person would have to be sure Lala Pesachim, he would have to knock on the doors to get money to be able to afford to get the Ner Chanukah. So it's a very chashuv mitzvah. And the Chazal set it up in an interesting way. They set it up in the Nusach of Ner Ishu Beisai, that it's the Ikir Chiv is one Ner per family, and they set it up as in the Lacha of Beisai. So if theoretically a person has his family, they live together on a park bench, right? That's where they live. There's no Chiv to put a menorah at the end of the park bench, right? Because there's no bias. That's the Tosis actually who speaks it out in Besechtes. Sukkah, actually. Okay.
I didn't mention that one.
All right, the Tosfos compares it to the Neri Shabbesa to the Lach of Mezuzah, that it has to, there's a requirement of a bias. That's the Ikir Chiyuv. The Ikir Chiyuv said it has to be done in conjunction with the bias. We will maybe talk about some of the hechatim of a person as a guest or when he's not home. So what exactly is his Chiyuvim? He's not really. Where is his bias? And that's really the interesting question. But besides the chiyuv of bias, there is a chiyuv of gavra, and each person has a chiyuv of to fulfill halakha, and that will be fulfilled either with his light and his bias lighting for him, or him lighting himself. Fascinating din. The person can point out that if the people in his house are lighting for him, he's here to the mitzvah, even if they're in a different time zone. This means even if where he is comes to the Zman HaDlaka, they didn't light yet. But since they will light in the Zman HaDlaka, he'll be Yotze the Mitzvah. When they light there, Zman HaDlaka, he's going to be Yotze the Mitzvah where he is.
How do they tell you your house?
What?
How do they tell you your house?
In this case, it's your house. You know, the husband goes away, he's out for business, it's his house.
Okay, but a lot of times it's Zman passed by you.
Zman passed by you.
Are you?
You're with that halakha and that bias, which is your bias, in the right time.
Okay, and it works the other way also. I think they light before it's your Zman Chiyuv.
Also the same thing. It's a wild din, right? It's the din of Neri Shabbesa. You're yotze through your bias.
So you could like call home if you missed it, like.
So the Marshal he's not sure you're allowed to light on your own because you're being yotze with your bias at home. You let him know because the car could be. What are you doing? So we hold that you could. Mr. Burke, that you could, but you have to make sure that you light beforehand, because since they're lighting for you in your bias, you've been yotze already. You can't light afterwards. You have to make sure that you light beforehand. Therefore, you're being mafkir yourself.
You can't have kavanah not to be yotze.
It could be. It doesn't work because the ikrich din is a din. The person you're yotze, you miss it through your bias. So it's a fascinating discussion. Okay. That being said, the other end of the spectrum. So it's a lacha in your bias. So if a person is eating out by somebody else's house the night during Chanukah, he can't light there. It's not his bias. So that, you know, people go out for they have a party or something like that. So they can't be. Let's all light here. I'm eating here, so I'll light here. That's not your bias. You can't light there. The Ramah says that we said that Mokum Achila Zikr. That's a case where a person has two batim. He has a bias where he eats in and a bias where he sleeps in. The scenario could be a common scenario where they have, and in Bisman Chazal, they have these, you have a few different houses around a chutzur, and they would all, they're all members of the family. They would eat in one large houses where they would all eat. They would sleep in their separate rooms, separate houses around the chutzur. So there, the Mokum Achila is over the Mokum Shina. So that's true, because that's his constant Mokum Achila. So he always is eating. The scenario, he's eating here for one time, that's not going to be his Mokum, and not going to be a valid Mokum Allah, and he would have to go home. So what does he have to do? So here he is, he has a bias where he has to light in. He's at somebody else's house, it's Mahalakha. He can't be Yotz over there. There's nobody at home to mutzi him, because they're all here by the party. Right? So what does he do? So he has a few options. So first option is to leave the party and go home and light. Right? Because which theoretically should make sense, because he can't eat. Because our Masakh and you can't eat until you light. So he's got to join the party anyway, you know? So it's like a great party. I can't eat, so might as well go home and light. For that, we have a solution of a sharma. Because Halacha said that a sharma works. So a person's in a situation where he can't light, It's man hatlok and he can't light, so he appoints a shomer, somebody to remind him. Well, that shomer has to be somebody who's not going to be Torah the same way he's Torah, so he can't tell his wife, listen, we're both here, eating, you have a good memory, you'll remind me when we get home. That doesn't help.
Does cell phone reminder count?
So can we make a different type of reminder through an alarm clock? Some type of sort of Scheinberg's cell suggested that he feels that the making a reminder, he bases it on a Kitta Shulchan Aruch quoted in the Bir Halacha in Hilchos Shabbos. That's one of the interesting places where the Bir Halacha quotes a Kitta Shulchan Aruch in regards to the issue of the Chazal were worried about a person changing the oil in the lamp. So he said that in their days, the issue was that the kerosene lamps, you ever seen a kerosene lamp, you ever studied it, the way you get a larger flame, a smaller flame, is that there is a dial there, and the dial would raise the wick up, therefore it would allow more of the wick to burn, that it would take out more fuel and have a larger flame. Turn the wick down, and it would be smaller. So a person used a kerosene lamp, so the Bir Halacha deals with the chariba problem, because there you might turn up the wick. Because you can't be, it goes into that chazal, you say, Mamma Malikin, you can't be Karlar in there, because the person might try and change bring more oil to the wick. So there the Bir Halacha says, if you put a piece of paper on it, on top of the dial, and it says Nerish, it says Shabbos, or something like that, to remind you not to do it, that's valid. He brings it up from the Kitzel Shulchan Aruch. So Scheinberg takes that idea, which he says over there, and he says, well, apply it over here also. If you set a reminder on your cell phone, an alarm clock, which will go off, when you'll be in the proper place, and you'll understand why it's going off. Well, it's a stupid alarm clock. It says why it's going off, and so be a reminder that acts as it's a valid form of assurance. It's efficient.
Can you be in a situation where you're not hived to light and arrows, and like you don't have houses and you're traveling?
Then you could eat. You're not chayiv. If you're not really chayiv, if you have no bias, you're not really chayiv. In other words, scenario would be that person had this shalom just came up, somebody's flying to Eretz Yisrael on Hanukkah. So what point in time does he lose his status of being chayiv? So once he takes off, his bias in America, his whole family is going, his bias in America is not relevant anymore. That's not his bias for Hanukkah at this point in time. The rest of Hanukkah, it's not his bias. So he has no din of having a bias. Eretz Yisrael, he didn't arrive in yet. See, right now he's in the plane. Poison did declare the Shiloh about lighting in a train. There's a tshuva from the Marsham about lighting in the train.
They have rules against that nowadays.
So lighting in a train, the Marsham says, you would have to, you'd have your own compartment. Sometimes you'd have it to be your mokum. Now be your mokum for this night. You can light there. So there's a tshuva from, I forgot who, somebody says, he has a tshuva about lighting in a plane. So he says that you would encourage you to say, then you should light in a plane. Now, the planes he was talking about, if you remember your history, right, pressurized cabins didn't come into play until about the 60s. So in the 50s, there were propeller planes, which didn't go too high because they couldn't pressurize the cabin, so it was, the windows opened. Right? It was a normal plane. It was like it went high, right, because pressure cabin, the point is that the air is too thin to breathe, and that they're going to keep oxygen in there. Right? So you can't light, you cannot light an open flame in a pressurized cabin. It's not healthy for various different reasons. So you're honest, it's not really your welcome. You have this little, even if you go in the first class, but you go like all plebeians, you go a second, you go class Z, my ticket says it's Z, zone Z, I get this seat which is made for like about half of a person, that's not a chivat loka.
What about a private jet?
A private jet, theoretically, you would have a problem. You'd have a mitzvah halacha, but you have a problem, you're honest. We'll get to that in a second. So, but let's say the shiloh which came up, this is the halacha of Maaseh Shiloh, was that they're going to be on the ground in the airport. Zman halacha. They're going to leave America. The flight takes off at 6:30. Zman halacha, we'll see what time Zman halacha is. But they have to be in the airport already. They can't be at home because they can't wait till that, international flight. They can't stay home.
They're in the hangar or is it in the terminal or whatever, not in the airplane?
They're going to be in the terminal. Right? So they're on the ground. So medically, they have a buy. They're still shy to that. They haven't left America really. On the other hand, they can't be at home. There's nobody at home lighting for them. So what should they do? So the question was, do they have a chiv to get a shliach to light for them at home? This was the question, was maybe you should then point the shliach to go to their house and light for them. And they'll be yaitza with that, which would be the simplest understanding. I could argue that possibly that's not correct, but that's not for now. Okay, so
what do they do? Do they?
That's what we suggested. So getting back to our fellow's eating out. So he's eating out. He's not on an airplane. He's not on a train. He's not on a submarine, right? So his only problem is he's eating out, right? So one option is to go back home. Another option is to light when he gets home afterwards. The third option is to light, would be light early. So how early can a person light? A person can light from Plaga Mincha and onwards. You can look on your calendar and figure out exactly what time that is. I'm sure, you know, exactly what the Zman is, Plaga Mincha is this time of year. So what's better? So now let's talk about how late can you light at home. Let's talk about, you know, in the context of, so if the person is going to eat after his meal, he's going to come home and he's going to light, or a person's working and he's at work and he's going to come home and light. So how late are you allowed to light? So the halacha says, the straight halacha says that you have a zman atzitich regel minashuk. Tikkun minashuk is, the Mora says, how long is that? The Mora gives a shir, which is basically 30 minutes after tzeitzah kachavim. So shkia is going to be 4:48. We'll argue that tzeitzah kachavim is about somewhere in the area about 5:30. Half an hour after that is 6 o'clock, and that's it. There you go. According to read the Gemara, it says 6 o'clock, you didn't light, you lost your mitzvah. Very nice. Okay? Comes on the Ramo. The Ramo says that was only Bizman Chazal where they lit in the streets. They would actually light outside, like in Eretz Yisrael, people light outside. Okay? But Bizman Hazeh that we light Bifnim, because the Gemara says Bizman that it's not safe, they would not light outside, they would light Bifnim. So you're lighting Bifnim, you're lighting for the Bnei Bayis. So there's no, what's the mile of this man, Tichler Ramon Ashuk? What do you care about Tichler Ramon Ashuk? You're lighting for the people inside the house. Therefore, this man, Halakha, continues even later. Until how long? So Mishnah Berurah gets quite involved in this, exactly how long you have. So he brings one sheet that says that this man is still Chatzos. So Chatzos nowadays is about 12 o'clock, 12 midnight. So till Chatzos, you can light with a bracha. He says it would be preferable that the Bnei Bayis should be able to respond to your bracha, and therefore really it would be better that the Bnei Bayis should be awake, and therefore you should awaken one or two of them, or two or three of them, he says, to be able to answer to your bracha. You should do a mitzvah presumi nisa, even the farsim and nes, by lighting to them. So they should be awake. He says, once that's true, so he brings in the sharatzim, like, so why dafa chatzos? You know, the mitzvah is called a laila, would apply even until the morning. So the sharatzim basically comes out in a worship passage like this, that is that meeker than you can light till alois. Even without b'nei bayis, the worship holds. There was a guy's a bachelor. He doesn't have anybody. There's no. He doesn't have a chibar loka, right? So everybody has a chibar loka. So there shouldn't be enough community. Even though Mishnah Berurah seems to be hedgy on that. Okay. So we have this interesting question. So a person could theoretically, he could get home at like 11 o'clock at night and, you know, hold light for himself and maybe him, he and his wife, or he could light by Plaga Mincha, which is like before this mom. It's a cooler which we introduced because of which one's better. Is it better to light early? Now, if you light early, you have to light in such a way that it's going to last a proper time. For example, Erev Shabbos, we light early. We light from Plaga Mincha. You have to have enough fuel in there that's going to last from the time that you light till the time of normal time of lighting, and then the normal time that you have to wait afterwards. So if we say normally you light it at 5:10. It's supposed to last till 6 o'clock. You're lighting at 4 o'clock, it has to last until 6 o'clock, at least that much fuel. You have to have enough fuel to last the proper amount of time.
It has to last 30 minutes after it says.
30 minutes after it says.
Not shkia,
right. So what's better? This is machlokes, and it seems to be that you get both answers. Rav Moshe holds it's better to light later. So it's better to light later. So you, in that situation, a person will light later. So our options are to light earlier, to light bisman while they somebody else representing them, or to light later through a shomer. So now another example: that is a person is at work, and he's not going to get home in time for this man halakha. So he has an option of his wife lighting at home for him at the proper time. If she's home, she can light at the proper time.
She can light for him, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Right. She's probably the Bnei Bayis.
But she's not chayav, though, right?
Women are chayav and halakas. They're proud of the house.
As in,
they're yotze with their husband. The husband isn't there, so she's not worse than any other shliach. She doesn't. Well,
a woman is barisav wouldn't be chayav, right?
Woman barisav is chayav. She the woman lives in her own house. She's chayav. It's presumably this applies to men and women equally.
Even though it's man grom.
Right, because they have hen hoibos and eis, the Mora says. They were also involved in the mitzvah. So one option is to have the woman light at the proper time, and the husband will come home later on, or that they should wait. So what's better? So meeker than the most places can hold it, better to light at the proper time through the shliach. The question which you have, and then vice versa. Let's say the husband's home and the wife is not home yet. Be the same thing. However, Reb Scheinberg has a fascinating question, which he says the more has a fascinating discussion. The more says person is totally impoverished. And after all of his efforts, he has enough money to buy one, either one of two options. He can either buy Ner Shabbos or Ner Chanukah. What should he spend his money on, Ner Shabbos or Ner Chanukah? Or says, what's the Shiloh? Because Ner Shabbos, because I'll institute it, there should be light in the house. Because in those days, without a Ner, it was black on Shabbos, it was dark. Right, so that would diminish the shalom bias, because you can imagine in the dark you stub your toe, and of course when the nature of all of us is when we say, why did you leave that there, right? You don't say, well, why did I fall? You know, you say, why did you leave it there, right? So that's not going to enhance shalom bias. So shalom bias odav versus pesuminisa of the Ner Chanukah. That's the Morris Shiloh. Anyway, remember, let's picture the Morris case. The Morris case is you're going to let the Ner Chanukah outside of the street like you're supposed to, and your house is pitch black. You're allowed inside, and your house will be lit up. You want to be near Chanukah. What do you do? Some more says Ne'er Shabbos is on. Kishon Bais trumps Pesuminis. So now the husband said, "Listen, I have this galgam mitzvah to light at the proper time, and my wife will come up later, and tough luck on her, and she'll be very upset." So what do we have? Ner Chanukah overriding Shalom Bayis. No, we don't do that. Because the Mor says that Shalom Bayis is other. So you wait till light later until your wife comes home. So if your wife is not going to be comfortable with not lighting together with you, you wait till later. So Shiver Pascha is a beautiful copy from based on the Gemara. So that being said, you have to obviously do it in a way which everybody would be comfortable with what's happening.
What if the wife is away? Like for a trip or something, and she's not there.
So then she'll really make it, then she'll be yotze with the husband's halakha at home.
Does she have to be mitzaref with wherever she's staying?
We'll get to there, or we'll try and get to there. Okay. Now, but in that situation where a person is being yotze with a halakha at home, but they're not home. So we had an interesting question. There's something called Birchas Haroah. Chazal said that besides the bracha of Asher Kishom Tzom B'Sivonu, Lahalik Ner Shal Chanukah, Lahalik Ner Chanukah, whatever your nusach is that you say, whatever, we're not getting involved in right now. There's another bracha of Shal Sinisim Labasenu Bayimim Him Basman Hazeh. The first half is a bracha. The third bracha of Shechiyanu. So that bracha of Shal Sinisim Labasenu, the Mora says that bracha can be said even if you're not lighting at all when you see Ner Chanukah. So our park bench fellow, right? So he doesn't light any there. Next time he sees an air, because our masakin, he would make the bracha. Great. So our husband over here, when the wife lit in the proper time, and the husband's on his way home, and he walks down the street. He's almost, you know, gets off the subway, walks down the street, and he sees a house. He'd make a bracha of shalsini simla v'seder b'yimahim hazmanazeh. Problem is, there's a machlokes poskim, if that bracha is only said by a person who has no halakha at all, like our park bench fellow, or even a person who's yotze that halakha with at home. Because he really did light. He rolled through a shliach, you know, etc., whatever, right? So according to them, you don't make a bracha as a roya. So he can't make it, it's something he can't make a bracha as a roya. So therefore, the Mishnah Berurah says, the best thing to do is to try and be present when somebody else is making the bracha, and therefore he'll be yotze with the bracha that person is saying. And fulfilled his chiyuv to say the bracha bircha zaroya through that. In the case he's chayav bircha zaroya.
Meaning the person making the bracha is doing it for halakha.
Right.
Having in mind that for real.
So if there's a guy next door to your office who lives upstairs, you know, and he's gonna be lighting, so you run upstairs for a minute, listen to him light and say the bracha, and you're yotze with your halakha at home. You don't shackle this guy's halakha. You don't live here, but you're yotze the bracha with him. And you'll be yotze the halakha at home with your wife.
So someone stops, sees you. Once again, there's a bachelor and he's walking down the street and he's about to go to his place.
He's in light at home, so then he doesn't make a bracha. It was niskan, but the person doesn't have a way to light himself.
Can you do it on the phone?
Can you do it on the phone?
The bracha on the phone?
Can you listen to bracha on the phone? So that's a general question. Can you be yotze brachas on the phone? The Rosh Hashanah Zalman holds very, 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 very strongly that you cannot be yotze brachas on the phone. You're hearing an electronic sound generated by a machine that has no shachas, a human being sound. It's not a bracha. There's nothing there to be yotze with. Moshe has a suffix, could be yotze bracha on the phone. And Moshe remains with a suffix, with a yotze. Shema Zalman says the same thing is relevant. B'chal, that anytime you want to be yotze with a microphone, you have the we'll call it a shul, synagogue, temple, whatever, where they have that they read Kriyas HaTorah with a microphone. So forget about the Shabbos issue. You know, if they do it, but the problem is you can't be yotze. He had the shul that the Kriyas Megillah. It's not on Shabbos. As far as I know, you don't read the Megillah on Shabbos, but they wanted to read it with a microphone because the Valkyria was not so strong and it's a very large shul. So Shlomo Zalman said, "You're not yotze. It's very nice, but you're not yotze in the midst of because you're hearing the sound of a machine, not of the human being." That being said, Rav Moshe was masupik, could be yotze.
This guy in the park. Wasn't there a?
Yeah.
The guy in the park bench, same thing as the campground. Meaning, it's not a bias.
The campground, he has a tent.
And that's a bias.
That's a bias. He has a tent for tonight. Yeah.
The park is
not really a tent. Yeah.
Hmm?
Yeah. Yeah.
This might be going down the wrong path, but wasn't there like the Gemara talks about like the shul in Alexandria where they wave the flags?
No, so that's the definition. Can you answer a main? I know what the person's saying a bracha. I'm not hearing it, but I know that the person said a bracha. Can I answer a main? I'm not being yotze with that. I'm just answering a main. And that is also an interesting question. Can you answer a main to a bracha over the phone? The passion is basically more a sukkah by a sundry. You could do that. They would raise the flag. Everybody say amen. They didn't hear the person say the bracha, but they knew what he was saying, and they could answer amen. The Tosafot says you have to actually know what you're answering to, because otherwise it's a bracha. It's called amen. If a person doesn't hear a bracha and answers amen, it's called amen yisoma.
Right.
Because it has no shackles to the bracha. You don't know what you're saying. It's true. Whatever. I don't know. But whatever. It's true. That's not a good statement. Versus the person says, when Yisayma, his children will be Yisayma. So it's not a good idea to answer them in Yisayma. Right? However, why can't you answer them into the bracha over the phone? Just means that. The problem is, there is a halacha brought down, I think I mentioned to you once, that if I'm standing here, and somebody over there saying a bracha, and in between there's soya.
Soa?
Soa.
Oh, Soa.
Soa, right? So I don't answer Amen. Okay. So then the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says if in between me and that person there is an Akum, I also don't answer Amen. Okay. So we would have to assume that this person is saying his bracha over there and I'm saying over here. Somewhere in the world in between there's a basic kisei. There's probably a few goyim in between also. So I can't answer Amen. So therefore,
it's going through a satellite, maybe through space.
I don't care where it's going through. With the vice, I'm answering the main to what the person's saying over there. And I'm over here in between them. There's a barrier, so I don't answer a main situation.
But in like
so tell you interesting Shiloh. This is pretty interesting lemaisa because I pass you don't answer a main. My Rebbe actually passes not like this. He says since that's only when you're hearing it through that medium over that space. You're hearing it through the medium going through the satellite, etc. It's not a problem. So every Erev Shabbos, I give my son a bracha over the phone. So, of course, he's in the yeshiva, and he asked my Rebbe, who's the person in the yeshiva, what to do. And my Rebbe said he should answer amen. I actually hold, you don't answer amen. So he has this interesting dichotomy. What do you do every week? You know, so I told him, you asked my Rebbe, shyly, he passed, you should say amen. You should say amen. Right, so that's what he does. Right, so he answers amen to my. I said, you really should be answering amen. But the Maaser Rebbe said you'd answer amen. You say amen. Right, you know, so that's a cute thing. Anyway,
it's not like a stumbling block, Misad Rebbe.
He asked the shaila by the pesuk in the yeshiva, which is he's my pesuk goals. Even though I argue with his point, but he was my pesuk yet. Anyway, so now. So let's say you have a situation where the person is going to somewhere for Shabbos. So that's a little better than the situation where he's going there for just for a meal. He's saying that for Shabbos, I'm leaving my place and I'm going here. This is going to be my place for Shabbos. I'm going to sleep here. I'm going to eat here. I'm going to be here for Shabbos. So that is correct. That becomes his makom for Shabbos. So therefore, he will light there with a bracha. And our medic nowadays, we're not yotze with the Baal HaBayis. Each person lights their own. So fine, this is his makom, and he can light with a bracha like we normally do. What's interesting is Motzai Shabbos. Okay, so Motzai Shabbos, he's going to be traveling back to his home. Or Sunday night, you know, he'll say Sunday, and Sunday evening he'll be there with his one halakha, and then later on that evening he'll be traveling home. So that night he's not going to be sleeping there. But he's been there as his makam for the whole Shabbos up to that point, or the whole weekend up to that point. So what's the halakha? So you get different answers to the poskim. And I'm comfortable saying the following. Kolzman, he's still there. This has been his makam. It's still his makam. This is the makam where he was for Shabbos, and he's here. He could light over here. The poskim do say, however, if the person, let's say, Motzei Shabbos, immediately he's leaving after Motzei Shabbos to go back to his place. So then, assuming he'll get this place in a normal time, so it's a place, the person leaves Baltimore to come back to Silver Spring, Motzei Shabbos, so light when he gets home, it's not so late. The person's leaving New York City to get back to Silver Spring, get back at 12 o'clock at night. All right, so that it would be better to stay there for a period of time until light over there and then come leave afterwards. Yeah. But you could, even though you will not be sleeping there, Kolzman, you were in this makam, this was your makam, it remains your makam, and you may light there. This was your bias for this period of time.
But it's not your house. What if it's not your house? Like you're just staying at somebody else's house.
Even if you're staying at somebody else's house, this has been your place of.
Yeah, you have to light it before you leave. You have to be there for a certain amount of time to see it.
So you have to light it before you leave, and then really make sure then you don't have to stay. You can't take the menorah with you. That's, you know, so if you have your own private menorah you brought with you, that might be a challenge. The person can light their menorah in that situation, stay the proper zman. You can't put it out before the end of zman, and then put it out. Have in mind when you light, you're planning to put out the oil that comes at the end of the zman, ikar zman. And then, so you make a tomato tonight that you were not being maxed of that oil for the purpose of this halakha. Therefore, you can stop and pour out the rest of the oil, whatever it is. You know, use it again a different night, whatever you want. That's fine. And then you take the menorah with you, but you can't. You're not supposed to put it. You can't put it out beforehand.
If you're leaving before the time of halakha.
Then fine. You left before the time of halakha. You'll leave and you'll light when you get back. Now, theoretically, in that situation, let's say the one interesting connection is, let's say, Bokhar is at home. So what's the status of Bokhar at home? Like, he's in yeshiva, so really that's his mom was in yeshiva. But when he's home, it is his home, right? So now he leaves, and he's on his way back. So can he argue that he's really been yotze with his halacha?
Does he have to light in yeshiva at all?
But in general, or that
in general, his home is lighted.
Yeah, possibly that the person he has to light in yeshiva because, right, basically, you know, his family rented a new place for him to live for the X amount of days. So, welcome to his yeshiva. That's his. That was you know, they sort of kicked him out of the house and sent him somewhere else. You know, they didn't sort of kick him out of the house. They kicked him out of the house, right? But on the other hand, since there's an off Shabbos, so his rental ended. Right, so the yeshiva said, you know, while you're away, we're going to use your dorm room. So, yeah, it's my dorm room. Said, no, it's not. It's my dorm room. The yeshiva said, it's their dorm room, and we're letting you use it for this day. When it comes, you're going to leave on Thursday afternoon. Thursday night, we're putting somebody else in your bed. So you went. Your rental ended. So that's not your makam for the weekend. Where's your makam? Back home. So theoretically, you could have a situation where you're traveling on the bus on the way home, and you get home at 8 o'clock at night. They already lit. Really, you were yotze, but if you were on the bus during the zman halakha, your house lit for you, right? You get because that was your house. The same thing on the way back, vice versa. So our minig is, since our minig is each one of them, they buy lights for themselves. So, this nekuda of having kavana not to be yotze. So we hold that you can do that. You could have, so that argument that we're stemming on that I applied that for myself. I'm not planning to be yotze, but theoretically I could be yotze with that if I needed to. Okay, so what's the ikra makam halakha? So the Ramah says the ikra makam halakha is makam achila, but you have two places, you have makam achila and makam shina. We would give it preference to the makam achila. Now, we're not talking about, you know, the person lives in a house and he has a bedroom and he has a dining room. We're discussing, would you light in the bedroom window or the dining room window? That's not the point. The point is we're discussing a building, your house, you know, where you live, using one building for sleeping, one building for eating purposes. So we have over here, we have guys who sleep in the dorm, some guys eat in the dorm, some guys eat and sleep and everything else in the dorm. But, you know, for them, that's their makam, and they should light over there, right? But let's say that the people who eat here, Some people eat in a restaurant. That's an interesting question. Where should they light? Well, but some people, but, well, let's say the average human being eats here. This is Makom Achila. That's his Makom Shina. So this is an interesting question which the Poskim dealt with. Theoretically, to be posh, the answer is Makom Achila. But Mershon said, no. Since in the dorm where you sleep, you have a private area, which is your bed and your drawer, your desk, and you, it's your Makom. In the dining room, we just have, like, you know, a lot of guys in the dining room. So that's much more your Makom. In other words, the more his logic is, that why is Makom Achila preferred? Because the person, it's much more important to him is Achila than his sleeping. People are thinking, you know, the more it's Makom Achila. When you say we pass, the person puts his mind where his Achila is. Right? Which means if I have a choice to be able to sleep where I eat or eat where I sleep, if that's where I normally eat, I would be very happy if I could also sleep here. So, you know, I'm going to my in-laws for Shabbos Chanukah, or for Shabbos in general, and they say, you know, listen, you know, we love to have you, I'm going to eat here, but otherwise, if you don't have any room for you, we'll have you sleep somewhere else. I really prefer to sleep there, right? This is where we're eating, and I'd like to be able to sleep there also. I'd like to be able to do everything there if I could, right? But let's have a situation where a person has a Makom, which is minyukin for them. It's their Makom. They feel very comfortable with their Makom. But the Mishnah said there's no food being served. But if they could, they wouldn't mind having their food there. It'd be very nice if they have their food in their own private space, as opposed to sitting there competing with, you know, with 20, 30, 40 guys. So then the Mishnah says then the Makom Shina would become the Iker. So the Mishnah says the Makom Shina becomes the Iker. The Mishnah says it's not the standard Psak. The standard Psak is you go to Makom Achila. There is a Chuvas Marach, or Zeru, if I call correctly, which he says, a fascinating thing, he says that he would suggest that a person's way of learning yeshiva, the Iker Makom of Yeshiva Bacher is in yeshiva. So even though they slept in certain houses in the city, they didn't come to the city to sleep in these houses. Like, let's travel to the city of Ostrov to be able to sleep in a Balabas's house. They came to the city of Ostrov to learn in the yeshiva of Ostrov, you know. Right? And they needed a place to sleep. So at 1 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, they finished learning, they schlepped themselves to the bed, and they went to bed for a few hours, you know. So their Ikum Makom is they would love to be able to sleep and eat and drink all, and do everything they had in the yeshiva if they could. So that's their Ikum Makom. So he said, Ikum Makom, you light is in the Makom of where you learn. So I've told some Makom over the years that I think for most Makom, I think it's very correct that they should light over here, because this is their Makom where they learn and where they eat. Certain Makom, I'm questionable about that, whether that's a true statement. And I'm not sure where they should light, but, you know, but they have other problems besides that.
If you eat sometimes where you sleep, so what's the problem?
As long as you can, the person will say it's really preferable to wherever you're going to be lighting over Hanukkah, try and eat there while you're during Hanukkah. Just not make it, you know. Tremersha suggests that they should take food to the dorm and eat in the dorms, you know, because he told you, possibly you light in the dorm.
So we're
lighting over here because. Now, can you light with electric neighbors? It would just make life much easier. The electric neighbors.
Yosef Ruby, who makes his own meals at the apartment, would light at the apartment?
Theoretically, yeah. Mm-hmm. If he's eating there, he's, you know, that's really, he's eating there, sleeping there, and he should light there. Mm-hmm. Okay, so persons, let's say, some persons is in the hospital over Pesach, over Chanukah. Chasvish over Pesach, over Pesach also, but that's not the topic of this year, right? So I don't know why that came out. It's late. So you can't light Neres Chanukah in a hospital. In general, they have oxygen, etc. They don't allow you, you know, to light anything like that. So they give you electric lights. So you go to electric lights for the purpose of Hadlokas Neres Chanukah. And the answer is no. The Poskim are very, very strong on that. Rishon Zalman and others, they say that this is like last night's Shmuz. The part of the definition of Hadlaka is there has to be a fuel which is consumed.
And since it's consumed.
What?
Electricity is consumed.
You do not have here electricity is consumed. So therefore, I have to pull it out. Let me finish my thought. Therefore, what was it? I think the Rivas Ephraim says theoretically, if you would have a flashlight which has a battery, and you have fuel here, as opposed to it's being made in some you know, generator and some generating plants, which you have no shaykhus to that fuel. So, so that would be theoretically better. You would not make a bracha on it because you're really making it. You're not yotze. That's not the halakha. It's Chazal defined halakha that creates light, and the light is generated by the consumption of the fuel which is there, which is not how electricity works. The light which is generated. Nowadays, it gets even more problematic. Even if you'd say that it is considered, or that they were referring to an incandescent light, that those are getting more and more rare. These lights that they give you, or you know, LED, you get an LED flashlight that's not going to help you too much for this purpose. Nearest Shabbos, again, it's an incandescent light. The Rambam holds you would be yotze Nearest Shabbos. Akedikat the Rambam holds possibly you can make a bracha on Nearest Shabbos, not Nearest Chanukah. The Maisa Minig is not to take a bracha on Nearest Shabbos either, but the person is an onus. So I had this Shabbos, somebody came to me. And it's a difficult shaila. So person has a hotel room. They're going to be going for a chas, and they're going to be spending two nights in a hotel the night before the chas, the night after the chas, they'll be staying in a hotel room. But the hotel, part of the contract is you may not light any open flame in the room. So they're signing a contract, they can't open it. But the mice, they rented this room. They have a real mokum. So they bet on they have a kibbutz mokum, but they're not out of light because they signed the contract. So what do? They, you know,
is that called getting a bias in the royal adlaka?
What?
Is that called having a bias in the royal adlaka?
It is a bias in the royal adlaka.
But they only own it in as much as they don't.
No, they own the mokum. They have a mokum, a chila mokum, shino. They have a mokum where you know better. They're using it for all their purposes. So they have a bias. They're
light outside.
But they have a guy with there is screaming, "Don't light!" You know. So what do you do?
You know, they'll just get sued if they light. But they
light outside.
They still own the house. They still own there.
So theoretically, they could light outside the door. You know, see if it's a, you know, one of these, you know, motel, which you know you can you have like a ground floor room. You know, you light in front of your door. It's you're in a hotel. The 16th floor in the hallway would not be such a great idea. Okay. So he asked me the person asked me the shaila today. He says I'm not really sure what to tell them. I told him I'll try and ask everybody what he thinks about it. So that's on my agenda for tonight still. Okay. Somebody else just you know, fine. So once you said this very clearly, we understand the core of the div of lighting in the shul is a fascinating concept. What are you lighting the shul for? It's not a bias. So the person saying there's no light. The only reason we light in the shul is because it's an opportunity for pesumin nisa, and really it's not really logical. And the chiddush that we do it and we let it make a bracha is a rebbe chiddush. Most persons say that we cannot extrapolate to do a halakha in a public forum where there's no bias there, especially not with a bracha. So if you want to have like a lighting, you know, have like a public lighting in the middle of a town square with a big menorah, right? So vast majority of places said that would be also would be bracha levatola to do that because you have there's no bias there. The halacha was said the halacha was said in bias. We do basic kinesis and we make with the bracha. Betzim is a tremendous kiddush and we have a general rule. These type of things you're not mechadish viter more than what you know. It's a big enough kiddush as it is. We keep the minig as what it is. You don't extend the minig. That being said, Rabbi Yom and Zilber, which was one of the other questions in Eretz Yisrael, he said he felt that you could extrapolate and that he was matzdik the minhag of some people that they do that.
Person who lights in the
Knesset is b'chlal not yotzei, and he will definitely make a bracha again at home.
Unless their place of lighting is in yeshiva.
If they're lighting in yeshiva, the yeshiva is the point of yeshiva is a malkum. It's not a basic Knesset, it's a malkum where a person really lives there.
Here the mice.
Yeah, the person lights over here is yotze. Right. This is again. This is your makom achila. You know, this building is your makom achila. It's not pshat. Makom achila is the dining room. You know,
even though it's not by the front door, though.
It's not by the front door. That which is not by the door is just like the you know the use of bathroom. You're lighting for inside. Okay, so that's the makomis issues. I think cover most of the things.
So Rabbi's saying that this whole public place forum thing, being that you're not making a bracha because it's a bracha hotel.
Shouldn't it remain?
You shouldn't answer main, or you shouldn't make a bracha.
Well, so the person making the bracha in the first place, on his cherry picker thing, didn't ask me what to do. The question is, if you're there, you know.
I was more referring to the president's event.
White House.
That's what I'm saying.
Obama's not five anyway, it's fine.
Is it the rabbi?
Rabbi's lighting it. He's going to say a bracha, and I'm telling you, don't answer a man. That's what I'm saying. Yes.
In the shul,
if you're there,
in the shul, that in a shul, like every day, like a one person in the shul makes it for the shul, right?
Right.
So, like, that is there a different reason why you should do like in a shul?
The person grapple with, we don't understand why in the world we're doing this. The Maisha, this is a minhag Yisro. So we have a rule with these type of things. We don't understand why we're doing it. It's a minhag Yisro. We can maintain the minhag because it's a minhag. But we don't expand the minhag and extend it anything more than what it is, because we don't want to do that because we don't understand why we're doing it.
So especially why say a bracha if it's a suffix?
No. That's the minhag Yisro was to light with a bracha. That is the minhag. So we're going to maintain the minhag because that's the minhag. But we're not going to expand it and extend it to anywhere else. That's exactly the point I'm saying.
I thought the point of like a minhag is that it had like a source or something like that. Like in timing.
We believe that there was a source. This minhag is mentioned already in the Ramah. It exists. Mm-hmm. And it says you make a bracha. So we know that it exists. And it's been accepted by the Ramah that it's a minhag. Mm-hmm. We don't understand exactly why we're doing it, but we said accept it. But once that's true, we don't extend it. That's exactly the point that I'm saying. Okay, when a person lights the nair, so it has to be enough fuel that it should last the proper amount of time. If it does go out, you're not going to be able to relight it. The one exception to that is that's because you lit it during the zman, which is a zman already. It's a zman, but the zman hadlaka. We really have to talk what that is. But if a person lit Erev Shabbos from plug, that cooler with light from plug, it's not really light with plow. So it's a cooler we're allowing your light early for it to extend later. Over there, the person would say, really, it's a case of cups, so you should relight it. Obviously, if you're Makabal Shabbos already, you can't do that. If you had somebody else available who was not Makabal Shabbos, you would ask the person to relight for you. When is the proper time to light? So this is Machlokes in the Paiskim. Mentioned right in the Shulchan Aruch, the proper time to light based on the Gemara is by Shkia or by Tzeis HaKachavim. Shulchan Aruch passes by Tzeis HaKachavim, the Rambam holds by Shkia. So what do you do? Is it Tzeis HaKachavim or Shkia? Make up your mind. So that the problem is that those are not, you know, compatible. So the Chabad Chaim comes along with an interesting point. He says that it's clear in Halacha, you have a little bit of leeway. It says it has to be Samach to that time. A little before, a little after. So how much is called Samach? So he proves in the Berlach, a half an hour is called Sabbath. So came along a Baron Cutler Zatzal, and he said, I have a great idea. Since America says a Chachabim, Russia says is about 50 minutes after Shkia. So if you light 25 minutes after Shkia, you are Sabbath to lighting by Shkia, because it's within half an hour after Shkia, and you're within half an hour before Tzeis, so you're within Sabbath to lighting by Tzeis. So you light 25 minutes after Shkia, you're going to be Yotze Boshit. So that became the minhag of many yeshivas, that they light 25 minutes after Shkia to chaperein this lamdus of being yotze boshitas, accepting the biralachas idea that samach means a half an hour, and you have a samach before and samach after, so you can chaperein to do that. So I think, if I recall correctly, Shkia is like 4:48 tomorrow night. So therefore the zman halacha in yeshiva is somewhere in the area about 5:10, 5:13. So this way, you would argue you're hopping at both ends close to the zman. Okay. That being said, there has to be enough fuel in there for it to last a half an hour after Tzeis HaKachavim. Now, there is a famous Piskarov. This Karov said the Rambam's lashon is that it should last till half an hour, Yoser. Which he said, and there's actually a lashon of Ritva. The Ritva says that it's komakom of himin hagoy. The more lashon of Tzivam and Ashuk, the more says a half an hour. The Tzivam and Ashuk, it says each place according to its makom. So he says nowadays that we have street lights and people are out much longer, then you could light much longer. Which would mean, midin of the Gemara, if a person would come home, midin of the Gemara, a person comes home and he rolls in a half an hour after Tzeis, he lost his mitzvah. The mitzvah's done. Nowadays, we'd have a kula. That's not true. You light Mikra Din outside 11 o'clock at night, if you live on a street where people are still going, no problem. However, it also creates a chumra. Where do you get the share of a half an hour of shaman? because the more it says it, one of the pshat says that this dinner tefillah mishumah has to last that long. So nowadays we have to make menorahs which have like these big cups that you light it should last until people stop driving down your street. So if you live in Broadway in Manhattan, you have to have a cup which lasts the whole night. Right? That should come out of the
corner. There's anymore than people on the street, though. We let people out.
Right. So, but we still remember, still macabre the shear of a half an hour because that's just took we still macabre that shear. So, Mr. Rav says that he was machmer because of this deacon of the Rambam to machmer on that.
How do you light till like 1 or 2 o'clock in Silver Spring if people are not moving?
Again, so we're lighting because the Ramos says, our look really straight inside. We put by the window because why not Kaparayan Pesumanis also? But the Ikra Lok is for the people inside. So therefore, we light even later. But so this Pesurava is an interesting aura to practice on the practical of mice, trying to figure out what to do. The Minig is not like the Pesurava. There's a lock that you light for the people outside also. It's because people can see it. So it has to be in a place which is visible. Otherwise, you just light. So where do you just light? So the Shulchan Aruch says that it brings the Shiltas, which is one of the swarm right after the Gemara. They said you should light by the door, inside. So when the person walks in the door, he'll walk in with the Ner Chanukah on his with the mezuzah on the right, Ner Chanukah on the left, and he walks in through the two mitzvahs, and that's a tremendous shmirah for him and his bias, etc. So you would light the opposite side of where the mezuzah is. So if a person's living in an apartment building and he's above 20 amas above the ground, he's on the sixth floor, so his window facing out the street is above 20 amas off the ground, so he should light by the door, not by the window.
Sixth above ground level,
whatever ground level is. So now the person had this interesting shiloh. What about if you're living in a apartment complex and there's a few high-rise apartment buildings? So even though people on the street, it's about 20 hours from people on the street, there's somebody straight across from you who can see you. So is that called, where should you light over there? So that's the b'chokes and the poiskim. It seems to me that the ikur p'sak is you would light by the door in that situation, not by the window.
If it goes down after half hour, before half hour.
Yeah, you don't have to relight. Okay. It is referred to you Shemin Zayas. So nowadays they have something like Shemin Zayas, which comes partially
solid Shemin Zayas.
Solid Shemin Zayas. The reason why it's solid is because actually they put a gel
paraffin or something.
Yeah. It's a substance in there. So the person grappled with it, is that called a valid key of lighting with Shemin Zayas? You definitely would say it's not worse than lighting with a candle.
Because your percentage, though, it's like 70-30 or something. Like that. I saw it in Shalom today.
Okay, so what? So the person grappled with this.
It also turns to liquid as you light it.
So Ramesh Shurma calls that you have a problem because we pass on a lockout to miss, which is why if it goes out, that's what you don't have to be lighted. So it has to be what it is, Pshat HaLaka. Pshat HaLaka, see, also, it's not the preferred mile of Shemin Zayas. Rav Osman holds that, no, it's in a Mokra, since it's going to melt and become oil, so it's considered Shemin Zayas, and you will fulfill the Mitzvah in a Mokra Shemin Zayas. Similarly, they have the interesting shaila about using coated wicks. Right? So you're lighting with wax. The first thing you light is wax, not oil. Because you light the wick, and the wick is eventually the wax coating burns off of the wick. Then it starts wicking out the oil which is there, but it doesn't wick the oil until it's busy. It has a wax coating. Wax coatings don't wick.
So wait a second before we make bracha. I don't know.
So they have the same shiloh. Is that called giving malik b'shemen or not? So one suggestion was that when you put the shemen in, you should pour some of the shemen on top of the wick, and therefore you. Our lighting.
Sometimes it doesn't light when you try that.
What?
Sometimes it's hard to, when it's wet with Shem, sometimes it doesn't light. I don't know why.
I never had a problem with it.
It's like church.
Okay. So far, so good for me. Hello, why for you? Say amen. Yeah. Okay. Who says that it's a Russian Gestetner suggests that you should do that. that would be the Eitzah to solve that problem. And it has to be Shem, which is Roy for Achila, because there's a din, we compare it to the Beis HaMikdash, and there was a rule in Beis HaMikdash that items which were used in Beis HaMikdash had to be something called Mashka Yisrael, which means it had to be theoretically usable. So it has to be kosher. It is, if a person's buying olive oil, you should be buying olive oil which doesn't have other items mixed into it, which would question its kosher. So having a kosher symbol in it would be necessary.
It's just for the din of Shem and Zayin, it's not to be yotze.
No, but once you're lighting with something, it has to be royal. It has to be
wax isn't kosher, is it? Like wax can be made out of like.
Correct. That's what you mean. Correct. If you want to have the mile of Shemin Zayas, you need a hechsher. Correct. Okay. Let's finish a few points over here. When multiple people are lighting, so that each person should put their menorah in a try and keep them as separate as possible. It should be distinct as possible. So each person, it should be clear the number that you're lighting, or otherwise you have all these people lighting together. It's not very clear what night it is. You know, I think it's the 17th night of Hanukkah or something like that. Because you have menorah here, each menorah should be distinct, and that's a person should do that. For that same reason, we have a certain hakpadah that in the menorah, the menorah should be the same height. So this way, it should be clear to people what you're lighting. It should, you know, some of these menorahs, like they go up or they go down or they go higher or lower. Like, you know, it's very confusing. What you don't get a clear picture of what it is, what it is exactly. So in that situation, those are not your preferred menorahs. A person should not light a menorah in a place where it could be blown up by the wind. So a person lighting outside, that's obviously not an issue, but a person lighting by the window or lighting by the door, if it's a place where there's going to be wind coming in, so he has to make sure that it's not going to be affected by that. Okay. Since its purpose is persimonisa, so the person should have kavanah when he lights, that his goal is persimonisa, and therefore the Yavitz, Rabbi Yaakov Emden, says that even the bracha, which clarifies what you're doing, is part of the persimonisa. So you should have in mind when you're doing that you're planning to try to make the mitzvah of persimonisa. When you light the neris, so the correct order of lighting, so we have different discussions about that. So, in general, the way we light, depending on where you're putting your menorah, we're going to light on the right side of the menorah first. This is the Pesach of the Shulchan Aruch. There's two other menhagim. So, if you're interested in having that, you know, being different, you can ask me. But meanwhile, you light on the right side of the menorah. So you should be facing the menorah, lighting on your right. The Shulchan Aruch paskins that we have a rule that the kopinah shatapanah should be to yamin. You should turn to the yamin, which means that we want you to light towards the right. So the second night you're going to add these. You're going to fill up the two rightmost cups of your menorah, and then you'll light the left one first, and then move to the right, thereby giving the chashivas to the right. Vilna Gaon says that sounds strange to him. You gave a chashivas to the left. You lit the left one first. He says you fill up the two rightmost ones, and then you light the right one first, and then you turn to the left because you gave a chashivas to the right by lighting the right one first. But that's why we don't do like that. Most people don't know not to do like that.
If you're making like a makeshift menorah, do you have to set up 8 cups every time and then only fill it?
No,
but you should set it up left to right, or right to left. Setting it up, so putting the candles in.
When you're setting it up, something different is how you set it up. When you're setting it up, it's, you know, just, you know, you're filling it up. I don't care. It's just the halakha is an issue. But now the Mishnah Berurah points out there's a rule of Ein Mavir Ela Mitzvahs. So if the first night you stood here and lit here, and the second night you there's this menorah, the candle there, and you make the bracha, then you go like this, you were ma'avar al mitzvahs. You ignore that first candle. So you have to, the second night, move your hand over. It should be in front of the nair that you're going to light first. And the third night, the same thing. So you, whatever you're lighting, that's where your hand first, that's where your hand should be. It shouldn't be more to the right. And you're passing over all of these nairs to get to this one on the left.
Each candle is a mitzvah. Why are you passing over?
There's a candle available to light, and you're ignoring it. This is the mitzvah to light. So Amir Elman says you have to be very careful because Mr. Brewer in the Hilchos Tefillin points out Amir Elman says it's an issue d'oraisa. So we take it seriously. He's talking about the issue over there of Tefillin. If you fill the Tefillin Shayyad before the Shabbos, you should set up your Tefillin in your bag in such a way that you don't have to pass by the Shabbos to get the Shayyad because you're over Issa in Amir Elman Mitzvahs.
Even though
Chanukah is only Drabonah, but once it's a mitzvah, being Mavra, the mitzvah, the Chara is improper.
Making the defense like more Chara than actual.
You find such a thing. There's a fascinating Shiloh by Lifnei Iver. Lifnei Iver listens to Mikshel. You have a chiyuv to listen to the Rabbonah. So by machshu on the rabbanon, I mean already said the rice of being machshu and your chiyuv to the rabbanon, which is so lifnei. I'm already lifnei the rice by machshu on the rabbanon. Well, so a few places can hold like that because it makes sense. You have a chiyuv to listen to. I gave you bad advice. The thing is, I give you bad advice. The worst advice could be not listen to the rabbi, right? Who would want to not listen to the rabbi, right? That's basically what I did. So I was over there to the right, so lifnei iver by you. So you should put your nair, the chatzila, we want to put the nair above 3 tefachim off the ground and below 10 tefachim. However, if you could put it, if that's going to mean not putting it by the window trumps the 10 tefachim. So you have a choice between the two. You would put it, so getting back to our scenario, when you're lighting it by the door, not by the window, you should make sure that you're lighting it within the above 3 tefachim and below 10. The Mishnah Berurah says it's preferable that when you're lighting, you should make all of the neiros the same, because this idea of making them the same. So you shouldn't have some of them with oil and some of them with candles, which comes to a very common issue, Erev Shabbos. You want to make sure at least one there lasts late, so you use a candle, the Shabbos candle for one, the rest of them are oil. That's really not preferred. So if you're probably in that situation, it would be better to do all of them with the candles. You should not move the menorah during that time, during the time of the mitzvah. And the Rabbis, even afterwards, if the calls when it's lit, you should really not move it, preferably. Fine. Let's see, anything else over here I want to tell you about? Okay, one or two points. Alanisim. Mr. Burp says that the correct nusach of Alanisim is Alanisim, not Ve'alanisim. It's interesting. Nusach Ashkenaz is pretty much Alanisim. Nusach Svart is Ve'alanisim. Mr. Burp asks, it's more kind of rum. You don't say Vav. If a person forgot Alanisim in benching, so if he realizes before the bracha, he would go back and add an alanisim. If he realizes after the bracha, he does not go back. But Ramos says that you, at the end of benching by the harachamons, you say the following phrase: the harachamon who yasu lonu nisim niflos kumusha sizla v'sena b'yemahim esmanaseh b'yemei matis yo. And then you say the whole paragraph of alanisim there in the harachamon at the end of benching.
Which bracha
are we talking about? Alor. In Shemoneh Esrei, if a person forgot about Alanisim, once he gets again, once he gets to the words Baruch Ato Hashem, Atarshim Cholach, he gets the Baruch Ato Hashem, he doesn't go back. Until that point in time, he would go back and he would add it in. There's a lach of being Masader Tfilis that a person should say it. The person should say Tfilah Bal Peh. A person should say it properly based on being Masader, getting used to it. So you have if you want to say your Alanisim Bal Peh, at least the first time you should say it from a sitter. Afterwards, you want to say Balpeh, the Gzunta Hate. As long as you know it, obviously. Sudas Mitzvah on Chanukah, is it considered a Sudas Mitzvah? The Rambam says, no, there's no kind of Suda. And therefore, the Ramah says that in order to make sure that we can want to consider Sudas Mitzvah, we do some type of sanctuary Torah, Zmiras, to make it into Sudas Mitzvah. It's not that. During Hanukkah, a person should be Mechazik and Limud Torah. The Kishonah brings down a person should give Staka to Aniyim Lemde Torah during Hanukkah. That's why the minhag Yisrael is to give off nowadays, to give off Shabbos Chanukah, so people should be mekayem halach of learning more. Kibbutz of aim? What, to go home, you mean?
That was to play dreidel at home or something.
Yeah. The mitzvah kibbutz of aim is that, you know, a person goes home with shame. You know, there's a lacha. It's just a lacha that, you know, that once it comes mana tefillah of mincha, you're not allowed to leave this. You're not allowed to leave until you daven, which means that you know, this is relevant. Person's going from here to Baltimore, right? It's leaving. So let's say your argument is leaving. Service so going to Baltimore. It's man mincha. And he'll get a minyan in Baltimore. The lacha is you daven mincha biyachidus over here before you leave. You cannot leave a city before you daven.
After what time?
Once it comes man mincha.
Half an hour after
Chutzos. Yeah.
Is that true for all?
Wow. It's true for Shacharis. It's true for Marav. Yeah. Now, however, if you go in the Dvar Mitzvah, then that's not. If you go in for your own Tzrachim, the more says before you go for your own Tzrachim, you need to speak to Kadosh Baruch Hu. You need to have a meeting with Kadosh Baruch Hu to discuss the fact that you're going, and then you can go. I'll get a meeting over there. It's very nice, but you can't leave. See, either leave. My wife, you know. But with the Bar Mitzvah, so then you can leave because you're not going for your own tzrachim. You're not giving preference to over your davening, and then you'll daven there, you know, with a minyan. So guys asking about going home for an off job, it says it depends where you're going. If you're going for keep it up aim, so then yes, then no problem. If you're not going for keep it up aim, you're going for your keep it out somewhere, so then you have to answer that question yourself. Okay, that's enough for tonight. I think there's a few more things we can talk about, but one more thing. Just Motzei Shabbos. So when is the proper time? When is the proper Zman Halakha? You should really have your neighbor set up from a four Shabbos for Motzei Shabbos. So this year it's some the where the first night is Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night. So you light four neighbors Friday night, five neighbors Motzei Shabbos. So you take them and you light up. You set up all eight. Then you light Friday night four of them. Then what's the Shabbos? You turn it around. You have four set up ready. You have one more, and you're ready to roll. Faster. Assuming you have an order, you can switch around. What?
Faster. It's because it's...
So don't light the Shabbos first night, so you're just like...
So you basically you have four nairs set up already. You have to light, set up one more nair. It's much easier.
Do you do Abdullah first?
Now, so what do you do first? So the halacha is that in Beis HaKnesses, it's very clear in the halacha that in Beis HaKnesses the shita is halacha and then Abdullah. At home, there is both shitas brought down in the halacha, and it says whatever you do is good. The Rav Aruch HaShulchan says the minig in the home is to do Havdalah first and then Havdalah's neighbors.
Because
Havdalah
first.
In the shul, you do Havdalah and then Havdalah. At home, you do Havdalah and then Havdalah.
Is that because of like Tutter?
The issues are Tutter. The issue are there's being Ma'akar Shabbos is a Mila. Being Mazaris in the midst is a Mila. You have a lot of different conflicting issues. And putting it all together is a lot of fun. And it is late, gentlemen. Thank you for listening.